Hello, I'm Henry.
And I'm Trey.
And welcome to Marvelous, a Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast.
Where we go through the entire universe, show by show, movie by movie, in order of release.
Except not this time, again, because we're doing a special. Again, because it's the Punisher! He punishes people for being bad, and then kills them, or shoots them, or does bad things. So we're going to talk about it. Isn't that right, Trey?
That is right, Henry. So before we begin, we do want to say that this will have full spoilers for everything in the MCU, including the Netflix shows and possibly even the movies. So if you haven't seen those things or The Punisher, you may not want to listen to this.
So yeah, if you want to be spoiler free, you should probably turn away now.
Indeed. So, Henry, what did you think of The Punisher?
I liked it a lot, and after having watched Luke Cage and Iron Fist and Defenders, it seemed like the Netflix shows had been on a slow downward trend of being less special compared to the original shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones, which I absolutely love. So I thought Punisher was great, and seeing a great Marvel Netflix show again was awesome. How about you? What did you think?
I agree. I think Punisher was really good, really strong. Definitely more in line with the first few shows that came out on Netflix rather than the latter weaker half.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones is my favorite. Daredevil, quality-wise, would come after that, even though I'd say I like Luke Cage more. But I'd probably put The Punisher just below Daredevil season one, probably.
Yeah, I would still put Jessica Jones as my number one as well, but I don't know if I would put Punisher or Daredevil season one as my number two choice. I'd have to rewatch Daredevil season one, which I haven't done in a while, and I'm kind of waiting for when we get to it on our podcast.
Yep.
Shall we jump into it?
Yeah.
So I feel like first we should just talk about the first episode, because they try to really reintroduce who Frank Castle, the Punisher, is, where he's been since Daredevil 2, and what he's been doing with his life. And he's basically just smashing walls with a hammer.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do a pretty good job introducing him without reopening his entire origin story, since we already got that in season two of Daredevil. But yeah, I mean, it's a little slow start at the very beginning, but by the end of the episode, I think it's pretty strong.
Yeah, I like it a lot too, and it really, I feel like it's a very good introduction to the character if you haven't seen him in anything else before as well, since it shows his morality of why he does what he does, like, for his family. He only hurt people who have done crimes and things like that. But he's also ruthless if you're evil, and he will destroy you.
I thought it was really interesting how much shit that he was willing to take from those guys who worked with him that were just being assholes and kept threatening things. He just, like, he did absolutely nothing. He didn't respond to them in any way. But the second they did something bad and they were going to kill someone, he murdered them. And I'm like, yes, finally.
Yeah. It's interesting because right at the very beginning and the end of the show, the Punisher is in a state where he believes he has finished his job of getting revenge on everyone who killed his family. But the state he's in at the beginning and the end of the season, mentally, is a lot different. In the very beginning, he's entirely closed off and just wants to let out his rage. And in the end, he's a little bit more vulnerable and open to the world again.
Yeah, and I really like that ending because it shows how he grows over the season and, like, comes to realize that he does need to try and have a normal life again and that life can be good without his family, even though obviously it's probably not going to stick since if there's more Punisher.
Yeah. That's one of my concerns is how do you give the Punisher another season? Because you really have to motivate him again. And any motivation would be kind of weird at this point. I mean, the only thing I could think of is going after Karen Page again. But then what about Daredevil? To be fair, we don't really know what the hell's going on with Daredevil after the Defenders. I guess he's in some church somewhere. So cool.
I was thinking that for the first part too, like as soon as Karen came in, I'm like, where's Daredevil? Because he would be all over saving her. And then I'm like, oh wait, I guess he's unconscious somewhere.
Yeah, it is a little weird to have Karen and Punisher come back before him. I mean, I could briefly mention, I don't really like the ending of the Defenders and how they just sort of like, oh, we killed off Daredevil. JK, he's still alive, I guess. I don't know why any of that was necessary.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll give us a good storyline in Daredevil Season 3. I don't know.
Hopefully. I'm not optimistic, to be honest. but it'll be interesting for sure. If Daredevil and Punisher are working together again to defend Karen Page, I think that could be really cool to see, since Daredevil is very against the Punisher's methods.
I feel like the Punisher won't come back into Daredevil, but I don't know.
So now that we're kind of in phase two of the Netflix shows, I'm hoping the Netflix shows do the same as what the movies did in phase two, which was slowly begin to have the characters work together more often.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then by the end of Defenders 2, I bet it'll be like phase three of Marvel, where characters are showing up in each other's movies left and right.
I mean, if they even announce Defenders 2.
I'm sure they will.
Well, Defenders did have the lowest ratings out of all the Netflix shows, so I'm not sure that they considered it a success or not. They haven't really said anything about it.
You make a good point, but I still think they'll do it. So one more thing that the intro did, however, was, aside from introducing our protagonist, the anti-hero Frank Castle, they also introduced us to Micro, who had just found the Punisher. Micro, the man in the chair.
Yes, barely.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, he came in at the end of that episode as like a cliffhanger, and then the next two episodes are Frank and Micro getting used to each other.
I thought that was a good cliffhanger. I do like the dynamic they went with for Punisher and Micro, though I do think they stretched it out a bit too much. Like, there was quite a few repetitive things that felt like were happening with Micro, and I don't think all of it was necessary.
There was a lot of back and forth before they finally gained each other's trust. And that seems to be the problem with a lot of the Netflix shows, of just it being stretched a little too thin.
Yeah, I think they probably could have done good with 10 episodes, which is the same for pretty much all the Netflix shows.
Except the Defenders, which could have been 6, because it was 8.
No, I think Defenders should have been 10, and they should have done a better story up to that resolution.
Good point. instead of Dragon Bones. Anyways, I actually really like how they introduced the dynamic of Frank Castle and Micro in the very beginning. How, even though they have very different skill sets, they're both able to take control of the situation from each other. Even though it seemed like a little bit of a stretch for Micro to be that smart with how to deal with torture, but it was really cool to see.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And I like how techie Micro is.
Yeah, he seems like the coolest man-in-the-chair character of the Marvel Cinematic Universe we've probably seen so far. And he feels a lot more real than some other characters, which is definitely something that the Marvel Netflix shows excel at, having really good three-dimensional characters.
Agreed.
I guess I should say, one of our other heroes of this story is Madani, who is the, I don't know if I should say up-and-coming, but she is definitely on the rise, Homeland Security agent, who has come back from Pakistan, where she was working with this guy, Ahmed Zubeda, who was killed unlawfully. She's been hunting down information on why this happened, and she keeps getting shut down by the government. And this is unbearably frustrating for her.
Yeah, and this ties into one of the themes of the show, which is just like a constant showing of how the system fails to get justice for a lot of things, which is the entire reason the Punisher takes things into his hands, even though there's times when the system wouldn't fail and he takes things into his hands. So it's an interesting balance that they show for that.
Yeah, and another theme that they cover a lot is trust issues and partnership, which they show with how the dynamic of Micro and Punisher evolves, and Madani's dynamic with her partner Sam, who was another Homeland Security agent who had a lot of trust issues and definitely didn't trust Madani at first, but they grew to really trust each other and respect each other through the show.
Indeed.
Trey, what did you think of Madani and Sam?
So, I'll talk about Sam first, because that's quicker. I found his character generally more or less likable, but in the very first scene we see of him, they showed his eyes, like, bugging out super hard. And from that point forward, I could not unsee his bugged out eyes, so it was kind of hard.
He is kind of introduced in a kind of weaselly way. I really wish they explained why he was in the doghouse or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like that's something they definitely needed to say. Like, we got his entire character arc, including his death, but we don't know why he was treated so poorly. And we don't know why he was on Carson Wolf's shit list.
Yes.
Which would have been helpful information to know.
Yeah, but I'm glad they didn't. Well, my only reason for being glad that they didn't explain it is that if they tied it into the whole storyline with Madani and the Punisher, it would have been too much. Too many convenient connections that I wouldn't have liked.
I mean, it didn't have to be connected to them. Maybe it was something else.
Yeah.
But for Madani, I don't know. I guess I don't really have much positive or negative about her character. Like, I guess in general I liked her, but I feel like she was a bit too much at times for, like, I don't know. She was very stubbornly sticking to her guns.
Well, I really liked that about her, that she was really aggressive and a go-getter, and that was also her biggest weakness, is that she just would take things a step too far. Again, that's what I was saying before about the Netflix shows having very three-dimensional characters. I thought it was cool to see a character who kept overstepping boundaries that were reasonable. You can understand why she was being too aggressive, but you can also see that it was obviously too much at times.
And I think that's what I mean. Like, I did like seeing it for a lot of situations, but I also, there were times when I was like, ugh, too far. Like, so it was a little rough.
Yeah, like her relationship with Billy down the road seemed like, it was weird to see her, who was really against relationships and getting attached to people, made a lot of very poor decisions in that department.
Yeah.
But her arrogance and, I don't know what the word for it, like, I can understand why she would enter a relationship with him. Even though it's a bad idea since she's, like, related to an active investigation.
I don't even know if I'd call it a real relationship.
It was evolving.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess. It felt like it started just as, like, a way to feel and to have a release through sex. And then there was, like, it did start to move into other territory a little bit.
That's how relationships work for some people.
Yeah.
I was literally just, like, looking at, like, this thing on Reddit where just, like, some people are sex first, relationship and feelings later. Some people are the opposite.
Yeah. Speaking of Billy, though, should we move into his character? Do you have more to say about Madani?
Yeah, let's talk about Billy, and we could also mention Curtis, too.
Yeah. You go first.
Yeah, so Billy, the Punisher's good old military buddy friend, he was introduced as this really strong character, a bit of a dick. When they show him, like, a very just arrogant, self-centered personality. But he was really cool when we got introduced to him, and I liked him a lot. And it was cool to see his apparent trust to Frank Castle when we meet him. And I was a little disappointed to see him turn into a villain, because I thought having a character like him still be a good guy was cool. But his interactions with Frank in the end were really well done and cool to see how they're very similar people, but the only thing that's really different between them is honor.
So I agree with some of that, but here's my thing. I thought that they were crafting Billy into a much better villain at the start by showing how much he deeply trusted these people and all the secrecy that they were engaging in and keeping things from him, and they didn't tell him Frank was alive and all this stuff. And I thought he was going to feel betrayed by them, and, like, that would somehow turn him into a villain.
Being betrayed by the evil people?
No, being betrayed by Frank and Curtis.
Oh.
The people that he's supposed to have this deep trust connection with. I thought that would somehow develop into more of how he becomes a villain. But instead, we got a really cheap twist where Frank just keeps talking about their incredibly deep bond and trust, And then he goes to Billy and he just apparently has been working for the bad guys the entire time and has no qualms about selling out his friends that he, like, they serve together and are supposed to have this deep trusting bond. I don't know. It felt very shallow, and like, I get what his character is, but I don't think it made a very good motivation for a villain. It's kind of an obvious and cheap motivation for a villain. Money and power, the usual.
Yeah. And I mean, they try to show his backstory so it would feel a little better, but yeah, it's not that engaging. I didn't like the twist, but once I was already on board with him being the enemy, I liked how he was an enemy.
I was gonna say the same thing. So after I got over, like, this is so cheap and shallow for a motivation for a villain, after I got past that a couple episodes later, I thought that him being the villain was treated very well, and I still really liked the show overall with him as the villain.
Yeah, for sure. He was really cool and really different, well, than a lot of the other villains of the Marvel Netflix shows so far.
And I did like that he gave Frank a chance, like, near the end when he's like, wow, this Guy Rollins is actually a total dick to me, too. I'll just set Frank loose on him.
Yeah, I mean, they were hinting at that kind of thing throughout the entire season, but it was cool to finally see when it would happen.
Yeah.
Everything in the hideout at the end was so brutal. Holy shit.
And I am glad that they showed him figuring out and turning against Rollins, rather than he just is the bad guy the whole time, and then Rollins tries to kill him and fails, and it's like, oh, I was betrayed by my own villainy partner. Like, because that's been done so many times, it was cool to see it a different way.
Yeah.
With him actually figuring it out beforehand. Though, did he figure it out, or was he just like, this guy's a dick?
I mean, Billy made it sound like he would kill Agent Orange as soon as he got the chance. As soon as he wasn't helpful anymore.
You mean Rollins made it sound like Billy? Wait, what?
Billy and Rollins, all of their conversations were really antagonistic against each other, where their whole relationship was built on trust, but it was clear that the trust was the only thing, or trust and mutual secrets were the only things holding them together, and they hated each other, and Billy would have turned on him in an instant.
Billy would have?
As soon as Rollins didn't have any dirt on him, he would have.
I don't know why you're thinking it made it clear Billy would have turned on him in an instant.
Because he kept... A lot of their interactions were really aggressive when they were meeting before the finale.
I think they were definitely business partners, but they seemed like partners. Like we're doing this together. And I think that scene with Frank really showed Billy how much Rollins sees him as just a tool, and like how easy it would be for Rollins to turn against him, which I think is why he's like, okay, I'll just set Frank loose then and have him kill you.
I think Rollins going crazy and admitting to Billy how worthless he sees him, how worthless Billy is to Rollins, pushed Billy over the edge. But I don't think Billy was like surprised by it. In all of their interactions, it made it sound like if Billy didn't have to deal with Rollins anymore, he would be more than happy to kill Rollins.
I wouldn't say it's surprise. I would say it made it clear.
I suppose. I don't know. It seemed... I was kind of just waiting for that moment to happen. I was surprised it took that long, to be honest.
Yeah.
What did he think of Rollins, by the way? Because I thought he was kind of boring, to be honest.
There wasn't much to him. Yeah, I don't even know if I have thoughts.
Yeah, I also didn't like him when he dealt with that FBI director, like his senior. I didn't like that she was willing to go with him to keep the agency pure.
Yeah.
Who knows if that kind of thing happens for real in this day and age? I don't know, man. But it just seemed really... it didn't seem real.
I did like her character for like being super strong and her beliefs of, you know, doing what's right and stuff, and her saying that she doesn't want anything to do with him if he's dirty. But I do think that situation was a little odd, just having her be like, okay, fine, do what you need to do, but then you're stepping away. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't even seem like it needed to happen at all. It's just odd.
Yeah. Though, one thing I did want to mention was in that scene with Rollins and Billy and Frank, I don't feel like Rollins got punished enough, to be honest. It felt really quick and easy. And, like, he gouged out his eyes to make it seem like it was worse than it was. But the eye thing was weird. It didn't do anything for me. And I'm like, this guy needs to suffer more for all of the pain that he's caused, is how I felt anyway.
Yeah, it was interesting that Billy was the one that the Punisher left alive and not Rollins.
Yeah. And I was wondering about that, too, when we got to that scene with Billy. Because I'm like, you know, the Punisher's motto is that he's punishing these people, but by killing them so quickly, it doesn't seem like they're getting punished that much, because I feel like they'd be punished more by being left alive. And then he did leave Billy alive, so that I'm like, well, that works, that's cool.
Yeah, I think part of the reason why they did that is because it would have been weird to do that twice.
Yeah, I guess. I feel like Frank maybe would have tortured him more or something, but because he was so wounded and it was such a rushed moment, I feel like that's probably why they had to do it that way.
He had no other option. It was that or die.
Yeah. It's a little unsatisfying, I suppose.
Yeah. So another thing I wanted to talk about was Curtis in the soldier therapy sessions, and Lewis, the prime example of a soldier who can't come home from war, that is a star for a few episodes, which is odd.
Yeah, and this is another one of the running themes in this show, is like the effects the military have on people's psyche, or the soldier's psyche, and how our government fails to treat them well after that happens.
And just abandons them when they get home.
Yeah, which I did find this really interesting, though, because normally, if I'm watching something about soldiers and military, I probably wouldn't care at all. But this show actually did it really well, to the point that it made me care.
Yeah, I really liked Lewis, and I really liked those sessions a lot. It was just weird how it ended.
Yeah, and I liked Lewis's character. I liked what he was showing, and I liked seeing his evolution and like the effects of the war on him. But in the beginning, it made it seem like he had to have some bigger role and purpose. Like, why are we learning about this guy? Is he going to become a villain? Is he going to interact with the Punisher in some way to help him with something? But what we get is kind of nothing. I mean, he becomes kind of a villain for a couple episodes by just becoming a crazy guy who blows things up. But it just felt like it was a weird place to take that storyline, and it just felt small and completely unnecessary for the season, so I'm not really sure why it was there, aside from showing military effects on the psych.
Yeah, it's also weird how guns rights became the motivating factor to him, because it didn't seem like he felt all that strongly about that until he found community with that other guy, but that other guy betrayed him, but then he still was pro-guns rights, but doing so through explosions. It was just weird, but I really liked everything with him before that.
Yeah, I agree. Can we talk about Karen, too?
Yes.
We haven't gone in depth on her yet.
No, we have not. Karen Page.
So they treated her a lot differently than I expected them to, because when they said Karen was in this show, I thought she would be going with the Punisher on his journey, whereas it was more just she was still in the same place in New York at her work, and like she didn't move at all, but things were happening that involved her and brought the Punisher in, which I did like how they did that.
I did too. I didn't realize it was going to be more than just like a few cameos. One problem with having watched the show is I don't really remember the depth of their relationship that was built in Daredevil 2. I just can't remember the details of it. All I know is now they're super close.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, I think this is the most that I've liked Karen's character out of what I've seen of her.
Yeah, it was really cool. And one other theme that she helped represent was gun rights and gun control in America. And it was interesting to see characters that were pro-guns and anti-guns, but they also didn't really understand each other's sides. And Karen was the one who understood both sides the best out of most characters, since she's someone who personally carries a gun because she has been in many situations where she needs it.
Yeah.
And the New York of the Marvel Netflix shows is horrifying, so I would want a gun in this world too, probably. I don't know. Supervillains everywhere. Woo!
I could definitely see both sides of the gun rights issue, which I think it's cool that they showed, like, people's thoughts on that are anti-guns and people's thoughts that are pro-guns. I can see both sides. So it's definitely interesting to see. But I also think that her character is at its strongest in this show. Like, she feels less damsel-y than she does on Daredevil.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the whole thing, like, with her getting that that reporting job was one of her biggest steps of not being damsel-y, because she wanted to become... I mean, she really took control of her life and became really aggressive at finding out the truth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, she's damsel-y for, like, a moment in that whole hotel bombing sequence, but by design, she's doing it to protect the Punisher, and it's not... I mean, they're just doing it as an act. It's not even real.
Well, she is taken as the hostage of the bomb guy.
Oh, yeah, she is. But then Punisher does it also. It's just...
But I liked that she actually... like, used her brain and was able to get out of it. I mean, she did have some of Frank's guidance, but she, like, when they were talking about the white wire, she's like, okay, I'll pull this white wire and get this gun out of my purse.
Yeah. I was a little bit confused how she still had the gun. Did she have two guns? Because they took her gun before she went upstairs.
Oh. Did they?
Yeah. They made a big show of it. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Yeah, I was confused about that.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I'm surprised that she did have a weapon and still was allowed to have a weapon up there.
To be honest, she might have two, like a secret compartment at the bottom of her purse or something that has another one.
Maybe.
A very small side note is Anvil. The Anvil agents that were supposed to be protecting the senator were horrible. Everyone just kept coming up behind them.
I know.
These are supposed to be Billy's elite team of ex-soldiers who love nothing more than battle and couldn't get back to the real world, so they just battle non-stop.
Yeah, that was hard to see.
they were awful pawns.
Yeah,
I wasn't a fan of that for sure, but I mean, that's the thing with these shows, the random baddies, whether they're guys with guns or ninjas, they're just random baddies that are swooped away like nothing.
Yep. One other thing on Karen was I liked how she didn't try, or she knew that she couldn't talk the Punisher out of his mindset of killing people. So she just, like, she let him do what he needed to do. Because that's something that really bothers me on Daredevil, is that everybody around him is like, what are you doing? Stop doing what you're doing. And I'm just like, oh my God, just leave him alone.
Well, Daredevil's a hero. He keeps getting hurt while trying to save people. The Punisher is a criminal who you can't... He's like a raging bull that you can't stop. So you're like, well, I'm just gonna let him loose because I don't want to get run over.
I know, but that's why I'm glad that she didn't try harder to talk him out of killing people. Because, I mean, Matt doesn't even kill people, but they freaking talk his ear off about it. And I'm like, so over it. Which is why the Punisher was so refreshing in season 2 of Daredevil, because I'm like, well, actually, this was Matt, because he was constantly talking about not killing people, and I actually found that really annoying, and then the Punisher just killed people, so.
Eh. Fair enough.
maybe I'm being a little too violent in my opinions.
Maybe. This is fiction, so I will accept that.
So, we did talk about Lewis, but we didn't actually touch on Curtis.
Yeah.
So, I feel like we should talk about him a little bit. I really liked his character.
He was really cool and well done.
I loved how strong of a fighter he was, and how strong, like, character-wise, and also how much depth he had, and how much he wanted to help people, too.
It's also interesting how you learn more and more about how he lost his leg, about, like, how he was... trying to save a dying child, but also how the Punisher kind of sort of let it happen on accident because he didn't want to kill a mother and her child, even if it was unborn. And yet he was still strong but he was still dealing with the horrors of his past.
Yeah.
I just liked him a lot. There's a lot of depth there.
And he was an interesting foil to Billy Russo, since they are both, like, the trusted companions of Frank Castle.
Yeah. They're all brothers in arms, and they all took different paths to deal with their trauma.
Yeah, and I still feel like it would have been a better foil to see if Billy Russo had become a villain through slower and better means, instead of just shallow ones, but, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah, for sure. And so I feel like there's one more group of characters that we haven't really talked about so far, and that's the whole Lieberman family. Mike Rowe's family, who all think he's dead. The children and the wife are having a lot of issues dealing with his loss. The home feels like there's a hole in it. The son is becoming a dick of a kid because of it.
Yeah.
Leo the daughter is cool. I like Leo.
I also think this show does a lot with foils, because David Lieberman also is a huge foil to Frank, because they're both in the same situation of the same government people were after them and would have come after their family. But this is a guy who actually faked his death early, so his family survived, and he's doing everything he can to keep them alive.
He didn't fake his death on purpose.
Yes, he did.
He survived because they shot him and he got hit by his cell phone instead of him.
He faked his death because he didn't say that he was alive. He, like, went into hiding and made it seem like he was dead.
Oh, that's what you mean, yes.
But they both fake their deaths, and they both have the same exact family dynamic with a son and a daughter, and a wife, and I don't know. It's all very similar. And
a son and a daughter and a wife. Wow, this is amazing. Who else has this?
They have the same exact family dynamic and family to protect. And it was very interesting to see the comparisons between them and see Frank go and see himself. He saw the family suffering, and I could see him connecting to it like he would have if it was his family. And, like, he's picturing his family in this situation, which is why he's connecting so much with their family and constantly helping them.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with the wife, it's almost like he can talk to his family if they had survived.
Yeah.
To just know what they were going through. And I think it helped give him some peace. There's also a lot of sexual tension with him and the wife.
I feel like the sexual tension was mostly on her part, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If Lieberman wasn't alive anymore and Frank still met the family, I could see him going for it.
Honestly, I don't think he would. I think he would be completely closed off because of his wife still and his family.
I don't know. It's weird. This is another thing where it's going to be really interesting to see where Punisher Season 2 goes if he tries to move on from this violent past of his.
Which, I mean, he can't move on very far because then we wouldn't have a Punisher.
Yeah, it's going to be weird because it's also probably going to take place in New York again, and you'd really think he should leave New York.
Yeah. Wait, is he still in New York?
At the end of the season?
Because in the beginning, wasn't he at that group too, and he wasn't in New York?
He was working on a construction site in New York in the beginning of the series.
It was in New York?
The construction site?
I thought he went to a different town.
Oh, I mean, in the very first episode, there was like a whole montage of him fighting, like, or hunting down the rest of the mob or whatever that killed his family. Like, it was cool how he shot someone in Mexico across the border and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I just assumed that he was in hiding, like, in a different state or something, not in New York.
I'm pretty sure that was all New York.
Okay, I guess they never say it. That was just where my mind went.
I mean, I think it was... I have to go back and rewatch episode one, but I'm pretty sure it's made very clear. Because they're, like, when him and that Hispanic kid, who he rescues later on, are, like, sitting on the top of the roof. They're, like, watching over the city and talking about it being a good view of the city from up here.
If they were in New York, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, they were. Woo! So the flashbacks. There were a lot of... They really cut back to the instance of him waking up next to his wife over and over and over. And slowly through the show, you get to know that Frank's home life wasn't as beautiful and amazing as he may have remembered it. And once we finally see that whole scene play out, when you see that his wife is upset that he's not really home because war is his real home, that was cool to see. But I thought the flashbacks were done a little bit too much. I get they were trying to be artistic and really show you what Frank's going through, but I think it could have been handled a bit better.
Yeah, I definitely felt like we watched the same scene about 50 times.
Yeah, especially with, it was weird that Frank's wife was murdered in most of them, since that's not where she died. It was just strange.
Yeah, and someone, like, mentioned this on Reddit this morning, because I was asking for clarifications between season 2 of Daredevil and Punisher, and they said that his family did die on the carousel, like, in that playground area. So this was all just in his head, like, he's seeing his family murdered because of his death, and she didn't actually die in his house. And I'm like, oh, okay. Seems kind of unclear.
Yeah, they kind of muddled that whole backstory of who killed his family and why. So, I mean, I guess now the idea is Agent Orange hired some mobsters to kill his family. Or hired multiple mobsters to have a fight in the park. I don't know, it was just weird. But also, apparently, Billy Russo was there. I actually really liked the...
No, Billy wasn't there.
What about that whole flashback with Billy and his kids?
That was... Frank was there, too. That wasn't that day.
Wait, that was a different day?
I thought so.
I thought that was the same day.
I don't think Billy was there when they all got killed, because he said he wasn't there when they all got killed, and he didn't know, or he knew about that it was happening.
He said he wasn't one of the shooters. Wasn't that the same day? How often do they go on this merry-go-round?
I'm pretty sure they went there a lot, based on Daredevil Season 2.
I don't remember, man. It just, I find it funny when he calls them painted ponies. It's like, who says that? Is this a New York thing?
Yeah, but Agent Orange might also just have been, like, since the CIA was also involved in that stint with the mobsters at the carousel, he may have just ordered the CIA to be there, too. I don't even know. Like, somehow he was involved.
It's a mess. It's confusing. Not having more clear memories of Daredevil 2 definitely didn't do me any favors.
But also, I think it's because this season of Punisher, like, was trying to be separate and not tie in directly to Daredevil to clarify, because they wanted people to access it if they had or hadn't seen Daredevil. So, yeah, they didn't make it very clear. But it also just since in Daredevil Season 2, from Frank's perspective, he has discovered and killed everyone who killed his family. And then in this, you find out again, more people killed his family, so he went and killed them.
Yeah, it was weird. But as a standalone, it was very well done.
Yes.
Because that's the thing. I think I could comfortably recommend The Punisher to someone who hasn't seen any of the other Netflix shows. Karen Page is the only reason why it's weird.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing that ties in is Karen.
And since I forgot a lot of the details of Daredevil 2, it's pretty easy to remember. I mean, long story short, Karen helped with his trial, and they have a close bond.
I mean, I guess it just depends if you want to know the backstory of their relationship or if you just want to see her as, oh, a person who he's close to.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it definitely benefits to have seen the previous stuff, but you don't need it.
Indeed.
Yeah, so there's a few other things that we could talk about that I really liked and you really liked. Like, one thing I really thought was cool was when Madani caught Billy Russo's team off guard by saying that they had a sting for Frank Castle, but it was really for him. I thought it was really impressive that she figured out how to handle being bugged, but she should have been more prepared for the shit show that went down. And it was cool, but sad to see Billy kill Sam, but it seemed a little cliche, and I was really hoping Sam would have been the one to save the day somehow, by somehow conferring the information to her through, like, his phone or something.
Yeah, I was hoping that he'd tell her to.
Yeah, and it seemed like he was trying to, but Madani wouldn't shut up. But to be fair, he couldn't speak anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he could have.
But phone or something, I don't know. Or, like, marked it in his blood. hey, I don't know. So another thing we could talk about, just like the slow build of the relationship of Micro and the Punisher, and how they start really antagonistic, but then grow to have a really close bond.
I would call their entire relationship antagonistic.
I think towards the end, they were having some good times together.
They had a bond, but I think they... It was like a kind of a brotherly thing where they don't like each other.
Yeah. But I mean, it goes from like pure, I hate you, to I hate you, but I'm going to help you. And they'll have fun times together. And like, they'll joke about, it's like, hey, you didn't make me a sandwich?
Yeah.
I like them a lot. I also liked Micro using drones and helping out more directly than just being like, I'm a hacker on a computer. But drones are also loud, so it seems like a very bad idea to use a drone in combat like that.
Clearly it was not loud, this one.
Movie logic. There are also a lot of really small, subtle scenes that I think were really well done. Like when Frank was escaping the military base. And there's like that one young soldier that he was trying to talk down, and Frank was just so broken up about how he had to hurt him and tried so hard not to. But from the kid's perspective, he was like a terrorist fleeing. So it made sense.
Yeah. And
it was a cool story.
I was wondering if they just included that to like include some logic about why he's going to kill them from now on. Cause right after that, he's like, okay, that's it. From now on, anyone who gets in my way is dead. Like, I'm just going to kill them, even if they're military.
Did he ever make it sound like that?
That's what he said right after that happened.
Oh, I can't remember. I just remember him being really broken up about it and it being a really cool scene.
I also liked how empathetic he was for their point of view. But then, like, yeah, right after that happened, he was like, all right, from now on, I'm just going to kill him.
Yeah. I also like how Billy just breaks down and goes kind of psycho at the end in, like, the last episode when he's hunting down Frank and they both go after Curtis to find each other. And how he's just like, whatever, man, we're just going to have a fight at the merry-go-round. Woo! Like, he just doesn't care anymore because he knows he lost.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It was like, really scary. And I don't know, his character apparently is a sociopath that just doesn't care about anyone but himself.
Yeah, he just broke. And it seemed crazy, but cool.
Also, that mirror scene, oh my god, so cringeworthy.
Oh, don't remind me of how brutal it is. God.
Yeah.
That was some good old punishing, man.
I did not cringe at any of the violence in this show, except for that scene.
Yeah, holy, yeah, yep, yes, very violent. The violence was really well done in the whole show, in general.
Also, we have that scene with Frank and, what's her name, Mrs. Lieberman? I think it's Sarah.
I think it is Sarah, also.
So, we have that scene where Frank and Sarah kiss, and... like, I knew it was gonna cause some drama. I'm glad that it wasn't more drama, but also it felt like some unnecessary drama with just David being so drunk and annoying, like endlessly annoying.
So funny.
And oh my god, let me just pull my pants
just
down,
breaking down,
and show you my dick and talk about how I'm hung like a moose. And I'm like, oh my god, why is this happening?
Why do you know so much about the genitals of moose?
Sure.
I don't know very much about the genitals of a moose.
Yeah. So that was that was an interesting little scene there.
It was hilarious. I thought it was funny, but it was also nice to see Frank taking care of him in the morning after. Like, he prepared, like, things to deal with his hangover and help him out.
Yeah.
Because he knew how shitty it is to go through that kind of stuff.
And I know this was some people's problem with the show, that there wasn't enough action scenes and there was too much talking. And I can see that a little bit, because I think there was a tiny bit too much talking and too much repetitive information that was happening. But that's, again, a problem with it being 13 episodes instead of like 10.
I didn't know people had issues with that. I actually didn't mind it. One of the only things that really stuck out to me as annoying was the bombing episode in the hotel, where they started at the end and slowly kept flashing back and flashing back and flashing back at everyone else's perspectives. Like, I understand artistically what they were going for, especially starting with a senator who just flat out lied.
Yeah.
But it was frustrating.
I completely agree. And I think, I mean, a lot of shows do this where they have, like, an artistic episode like this where they just bring you back to different times and try to unfold what happened for the viewer in, like, a mysterious way. But I think maybe it's because of Netflix's style of show where this is meant to be a binge of watching, like, continuously, but it was so jarring and out of place for the sequence of events. I literally thought that I was watching the wrong episode for a second. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, I thought I skipped an episode.
So, yeah, it was just very strange and it didn't fit right.
Yeah, and since it was dealing with the whole Lewis plotline, that was not very satisfying in the end. It was just strange. It just didn't sit well.
Yep. Like agents sit well.
Hilarious.
I know.
One other thing I wanted to mention. I thought everyone letting off the Punisher in the end was kind of silly. And I think that's ridiculous. But you gotta let him free to keep the show going.
Yeah, I agree. That was a little strange that they're just like, oh, we're just gonna pretend like you're not a murderous serial killer who is completely outside the law and we're gonna let you go.
Yeah, but aside from that, I just really liked Madani. I liked her interactions with her mother and how they were, like, her mother was both supportive but also really antagonistic with her since they grew up kind of hating each other. It was cool to see. I just really like her as a new character that I hope pops out and pops in the other Netflix shows. It would be cool to see Kurt show up in another one also, but I don't see that as likely. There's a chance he knows Luke Cage, though.
Oh my gosh, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
Also, one thing, this is the first show that we do not see Claire in.
Oh my god, yeah, right? Like, when they're like, oh no, we need to save him now, he's gonna die. And they go to Madani's dad instead of the night nurse.
I know, I'm like,
what? That was amazing. Yeah, whoa, I didn't think about that. Yeah, Karen was the only character from other shows, which was really surprising.
This, apparently Claire's superpower has been broken. She's no longer able to access every show.
Yeah, I mean, I figured maybe Foggy as a as a lawyer, or her and Claire as a nurse would show up, or someone.
Or Trish as the radio host.
Yeah, I thought Trish was going to show up. I think they just really wanted to have a big break from the last set of shows after The Defenders before they hop back into it.
Yeah, just very interesting.
Anyways, as the first show that came after The Defenders, I thought it was really well done, and it has reinvigorated my hype for the Netflix shows. And since I think Jessica Jones 2 is next, I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, same. It showed me that the studio can actually still make a good show still, so I really hope that they continue and don't let us down more.
Yeah. And I'm expecting all of the next season twos to be better. Like, Luke Cage and Iron Fist, I think, are both going to be substantially better than their previous ones.
I'm not convinced about Luke Cage because I loved everything with Cottonmouth. And now all we have is Mariah as the big bad, so I don't know if that will be better.
True. They need to give him a superpowered villain. Because I'm really... Luke Cage definitely had too many scenes of, we're shooting at him and nothing's working! What should we do? Shoot at him more!
Yeah.
They need to give him a super antagonist, not just people with guns, because it doesn't work. That's his whole thing.
But I'm super excited for Jessica Jones, so please be good. Please, please be good.
Jessica. Yeah, she's another one who, she needs a good antagonist.
Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to follow up Kilgrave, but we will see.
Oh, Kilgrave was so good. But I'm pretty sure they said that he's going to be in it, like, through flashbacks and stuff, because she's still haunted by it.
Yeah, but I don't know what that has to do with the current villain.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to see. Anyways, Punisher made me very optimistic, and I liked it quite a lot. And I look forward to seeing him again.
Same. I'm very excited for this show, and I hope that we get to see more of him.
So, Trey, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at MarvelousMCU. You can find us on Instagram at MarvelousMCUPodcast. And you can send us an email at MarvelousMCUPodcast@gmail.com.
So wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's iTunes, Google, or YouTube, please like, rate, subscribe, or leave a comment. We might read them on the show, and it would be awesome for you to help spread the word of the podcast. Tell a friend.
So thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll join us next time for Iron Man 3.